2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and so do these, so resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. For it is in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye, and say, hey, I'm beautiful. I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. We got two guys on the front who'll repent when church is over. Amen. One of them didn't say nothing. He was disobedient, but he was honest. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I'd simply entitled Last Day Sins. You know, we live in the last days, and I think we need to understand where we're at on the clock in terms of the end of time and how close we are. But I believe we are very close. I believe we're on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that God's getting ready to come back. And I know that because I see the things that are going on in the world, the things that are going on around us. And the Bible gives us documents and tells us to look at these things. And though we may not be able to project the actual time, he said, when you see these things come to pass, look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I see these things starting to come to pass, and I'm beginning to get excited about leaving here. Could you say amen? But I can also look at the temperament of the world around me and see what's going on. Notice what it said, in the last days perilous times would come, but it also said men would be lovers of their own self. Man, are we not in that world? I mean, we got churches getting full today because preachers are telling them what they want to hear, talking about how great it is. They never hear a good, solid message anymore. And I need you to amen this part, because you're going to hear a good, solid message this morning, and I want to make sure I don't have to crank the car up before I get through. Glory. Hello? But I call people, talk to them about stuff, and we'll talk about something we're going to do at the church, and inevitably this is the answer. Well, how's that going to help me? How does that affect me? Can I give y'all a little hit? What happens in this church ain't always about you. The problem some people have with church is it's got to be about them, or they don't want to be there. Oh, I got to have my needs met. Sometimes you need to just come to church and worship God and don't worry about your needs. Because most of the time, all we need is him. If we can get him, we can get healing. If we can get him, we can get deliverance. Amen. I told them in the early service, I'm afraid we got too many people in the church. It's like them little dolls. You really don't want to be with me at Walmart in Christmas time. I go through the toy section. If it says try me, I do. I'll have all them things dancing and singing and popping and doing all kind of junk. I love it when they got the little dolls. You get to pulling the thing. I'll have them all talking. Glory. I'll go through there and grab three or four of them. And I'll go at the end of the line, stand some kid to come through and get tore up for it. Glory. Hello? I'm thinking about taking some of our kids to Walmart just to get them tore up. Glory. Just stand there and go, they did it. Hello? But we got church members like that. They got a little string on the back of their neck, and you pull it, and all it goes, what about me? 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 It ought to be about God. It ought to be about worshiping Him. It ought to be about helping others. I found that if I give to others, I don't ever have to worry about what I need. God finds a way to bring it to me. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. But the Bible said in the last days, people will be lovers of their own self, covetous. Oh, I wish I had what they had. We call it name it and claim it. That's what them preachers preach. Well, if you want it, just claim it. Honey, you can claim my house all you want to. You ain't getting it. I like it. Glory. And you claim them payments, I'll let you out them. Glory. Hello? But we got these guys, and all that is just greed. It's just a normal greed and a lust for somebody else's stuff. You know, we've been so busy trying to keep up with the Joneses, the Smiths have outrun us. Johnny's back there. Hallelujah. What I get for having so many Smiths and Jones. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we're living in a world that's out of control. That's what that word incontinent means. We got folks who'll shoot you if you pass them, forget to turn the blinker switch on. Huh? Pull up behind somebody, blow the horn, they'll jump out, cuss you out. Had that happen. I blowed the horn, the guy jumped out, jumped up on the front of my car and was cussing me. I got out the car and he looked at me sort of funny. I said, you need to get down. He got down and he said, what'd you blow your horn for? I said, your bumper sticker said, if you love Jesus, honk. He turned around and said, glory to God, got in the car, drove off. I'm like, that's an experience. Glory. Amen. But we're living in a world like that where people have just gotten out of control. And notice what it said. Evil men who claim to be preachers are going to preach to you stuff that's not in the scripture. And they deceive you and lead you astray. And that's the kind of world we're living in. Come on, church. Amen. But look, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. The Bible tells us the sins of the last day that we can line them up at. Now, church, I know every sin you commit is going to fall into certain categories. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. I know they'll fit in there. If anything you do, you can find them. But these are sins that I think are going to stick out to everybody. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I want to talk to you about these sins that were just mentioned in that verse of scripture as the main sins that I think are going to take this country and our people down toward the last days. First of all, idolatry. Amen. It's image worship. Paying tribute to something other than God. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. People's not going to do that. They've done it for centuries. People have lost their focus on God, and immediately they find something else to worship. I mean, Lord, when they went to the islands down the South Pacific, they had never had a preacher or anybody come, yet they had God set up, they worshiped, and when we tore down their gods, they suddenly became drug addicts and alcoholics because they didn't have a God. Can I tell you what's wrong with America? We've put God out of our schools, we've locked him out of our homes, and now we're a house ship full of drug addicts and alcoholics because they don't have anybody to call on. Amen. But now notice what Romans tells us, how you get to idolatry. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who blessed forevermore. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, Romans in the 28th verse, first chapter, said, even as they did not like to retain the God of their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You say, what are you talking about? They've got God, but they forgot about him. Then they tried to create him like they wanted him, so they started doing him in images so they could worship him. And the images became more God than the God that that image was supposed to represent. Hello? Idolatry's always been there. In the days of Jezebel, Ahaz worshiped the god Baal. But Jezebel worshiped Ashtaroth. Do you realize Ashtaroth and Baal are the same god? Because she was effeminate, she had to have her own god. You know, we got women in the church now that say that God has a male and a female version. Matter of fact, the Presbyterian, United Presbyterian Church almost split over the idea and then voted to accept that the females in the Presbyterian Church can now worship a female god. Instead of Jehovah, they worship the other god, and they get to worship her because she's a female. Amen. I got news for you. There's one God. Adam was created in his image. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. And women done got mad at me, but I don't care. That's scripture. Amen. But now they turn and say, well, we want to worship this God. And they put her out there and they come up with her name. And it just so happens to be the same name of the goddess of deception of the satanic church. Ashtaroth was for the females. They're worshiping the same deity. It's just two different forms of that deity. And so now they're worshiping. Everything's going like they want it. And then all of a sudden, Ahaz is torn down. His life is gone. Jezebel gets run over by the horses, and her horses stomp her blood into the street. Now they come back, and notice what's going on. God begins to raise up somebody, and they begin to pull the people back to God. And God begins to move, and God begins to come around. You say, well, preacher, that's just one time. No, Israel's had that problem over the years, and God knows that we in the church have the same problem. Every time you turn around, we'll forget who God is, who brought us where we are, and we'll start worshiping something else, and we'll start thinking that's the answer. It may be a job. It may be the money we got in the bank. It may be something we're holding on to, but anything we put in front of God, God is a jealous God. He'll have nothing else before him. It's either God first or it's not at all. Could you say amen? I see a man, Uzziah, prospering great in his kingdom. Everything's going well till he decides he don't need a preacher. He decides to pray himself, and as he starts to light the incense on the altar, the priest said, don't do that abomination. And as soon as he lit the incense, leprosy eat his body up while he was in the temple. He was ostracized the rest of his days. The Bible said his son Japheth took over the kingdom. And notice there's something strange about Japheth. The Bible said he was a man that loved God, did everything according to the word of God, howbeit he would not enter into the house of the Lord. There's your sermon. Man loved God but wouldn't go to church. Bible said he loved God. He was raised in church, knew how to pray, knew how to offer sacrifices, but he wouldn't go to church. We got folks that tell me they don't have to go to church to live right. I don't believe it, but they tell me they can. You know why I don't believe it? Because the Bible tells me in the New Testament something that you got to honor that wasn't in the Old Testament during this time. It is, forsake not the assembling yourselves together for to worship God. And so therefore, if you're going to fulfill that, you got to go to church. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Smile at me. Amen. But now notice this. Japheth don't go to church, so he don't raise his kids in church. And all of a sudden, he has a son named Ahaz. Different Ahaz. Not the one married to Jezebel. But notice what it said about this son. He followed not after God. Neither did he do the things that was pleasing in the sight of God. But yet he burned his children in the fire. Why is it important you go to church and worship the God that we serve? Because you got grandkids that's watching you. You got children that's watching you. And if you don't stay in church and keep your mind focused on God and you let everything else, come on, church. I've seen people that'll make that lake down there their God. They got to go every weekend instead of going to church, and that lake becomes their God all summer. Then they show back up in the winter thinking everything's going to be all right. But if that God was down at the lake all summer long, your kids can't figure that out. The next bunch won't show up at all. If you've got to decide, am I going this week or next week, you got a problem in your relationship with God, you need to dig down and find out where it's at and get a hold of God and get out from under it. Could you say amen? You see, he followed after the sons of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire, but he had one son that didn't get killed because his mama was the daughter of Zechariah. Amen. The priest. And she hid Hezekiah from his dad. And when Hezekiah was 25 years old, his dad died. Hezekiah took over. And I want you to notice what the Bible said he did. Amen. In 2 Kings, it said 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abba, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, break the images, and cut down the groves, break the pieces of the brazen serpent. Now, wait a minute. The brazen serpent, Moses made it. It was a symbol of what God told him to do, to hold it up. And as long as the people looked at that serpent, the snakes wouldn't bite them and they wouldn't die. But all of a sudden, they start worshiping the serpent. And they're actually offering sacrifices to it. So all of a sudden, Hezekiah said, no, you ain't even have that for anything else anymore. We're getting rid of it. And he broke something that had been a symbol of a deliverance of God because people begin to worship it. Can I tell you, some of you's drawn lines and some things that's happened in your life and you worship it like a god when you ought to get back to the God that brought you to that place to begin with and forget about all the things that get your mind back on him and understand he is the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only one that can bring me out. Could you say amen? Woo. Israel's in the desert. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments while he's gone. They said, we got to thank God for bringing us out of Egypt. So they melted all the gold they had, made them a calf. Hello? I'm moving on. Some of y'all worship the clock. I done seen you. Y'all know my watch just went back 15 minutes. Glory. Number two is murder. Matthew 19:18. He saith unto them, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Violent crime in America was at 3.8 million last year. 3.8 million violent crimes in America last year. Oh, preacher, that's bad. But now notice that 3.8 million violent crimes does not include the legal murder we call abortion. Number of abortions per year. Can you pop that up there? 42 million babies die every year because a mama says, I got a choice. What about that baby? Don't it have a choice? Oh, I got some stairs, so I'm going to run with this. Don't ever look at me like that, because your choice was before you got that way, not after you got that way. I get sick of it's an illegitimate baby. Ain't never been no illegitimate baby. I studied biology. If there's a baby born, there was a mama and a daddy involved somehow. The illegitimacy is in parents that don't want that kid and just throw it out and say, oh, no, I'm not. That's illegitimate. No, you illegitimate, not them. Oh, I may need an escort. Glory. Listen, that's worldwide. But notice this. That's 115,000 a day. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. Jeremiah writes, and God told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So in other words, before Jeremiah was ever formed in his mother's womb, God already knew he was going to be a great prophet. I wonder how many presidents we've killed, how many doctors that might have found a cure for cancer or some other disease we got in this world that we've laid aside because somebody said, I make a choice. And somebody's got to suffer because they chose, took out somebody that was going to be a leader or something like that. What great preacher might have come along and saved some of your family and somebody killed them by abortion and said, oh, yeah, it's legal. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. Just in America alone, 1.2 million per year. Hello? Murder. The idol Molech. You know what they did to worship him? They always built him sitting with his hands out. He had a bull head and a man's body. And they built a fire in his belly and laid the kids on the hand and let them burn. And they sat there and watched it as they just scorched to death. Boy, they thought that was wonderful. I'm going to move on. But I'm preaching the truth. Fornication. Well, what's fornication? If a man is guilty of such intercourse with a woman who is unmarried, it's considered fornication. That's the definition out of the book. The difference between fornication and adultery is adultery, they're married. If it's not married, it's fornication. You know the word fornication comes from the Greek word porneia. Don't we get a word, Matt, we call porn? Glory. Hello? So we got folks that say, I would not commit fornication, but you watch porn. Oh, I don't know why it got quiet. I picked out big altar call. Glory. You sit there and watch TV and say, well, I can handle that. Not if you try and live right, you can't. You commit fornication with a TV just like you can somebody. Well, preacher, you can't do that. Matthew 5:28, but I said unto you that whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Preacher, I was over to the house one time preaching, and I was staying at the house with a pastor, and something come on the TV, and his wife walked in and said, what in the world are you watching? And I looked up. I was doing something else, and when I saw I was on TV, I said, I got to go. He said, we're adults. We can handle this. I said, you might can, but I ain't even going to look at it. Oh, church, come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Hello? Fornication's got to be left out. Do you realize that according to statistics, 60% of our children under 14 years old have tried to become some type of way sexually active in school, and yet we're surrounded. Oh, it's not a problem. Yes, it is. Oh, I got to hurry. The sins of the last day. Number four, theft. Y'all need to shout. It's fixing to get worse. There again, Matthew chapter 19. He not only said, he said, thou shalt not do no murder. Hello? Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Woo. I probably could have let that alone, but somehow theft turns into somebody being a busybody. You know why? You can steal somebody's good name with your mouth. I want to throw this in. It won't cost you nothing, but do you realize if you repeat a lie somebody told you, you're just as much a liar as the person that told you that lie? I don't know why y'all looking at me like that. Somebody said, well, I didn't know. Well, it doesn't matter. You still crucified a person with something that wasn't true, and that makes you just as guilty as the person that drove the first nail. Ooh. I told y'all need to shout. Y'all looked at me. Lord. But I'm preaching the truth. I say, you're supposed to be preaching on theft. Listen, the number one theft in America today is not somebody robbing a local grocery store. The number one theft in the world today is identity theft. They get on the internet, find out who you are. The next thing you know, you owe a whole bunch of money places you ain't never been because they running up a bill on you because they've become you. You say, preacher, that's hard to do. Give me your tag number off your car, and in 15 minutes I can tell you where you live. I can have your social security number. I can know everything I need to know about you to become you on the internet. Hello? Come on, church. Do you not notice that every time you turn around, you buy something on the internet, you're taking a chance of getting yourself ripped off, because no matter if it's secured, hackers can break the security. That's why every time you turn around, one of these companies is saying, oh my, we've lost all kind of information because somebody got in our banks and stole it. Amen. You say, Richard, what are you getting at? All this is leading to telling you the best way to keep from losing your identity is to put the RFID chip in your hand or your forehead. Then nobody can become you but you. But I believe that to be the mark of the beast, and they're not putting it in me, but we're headed that way. That's what this is all about. We're looking at what God's been trying to tell us was coming all along. Glory. Well, the mark of the beast is the number 666. Do you not realize every computer you use operates off the number 666? That every time you type in the code to send something on an internet, you type the number 666, because the value of the letter Vav, which is the W in the Hebrew language, is 6. So when you go www, you just said 666 every time you type in an address. Hello? Oh, every time you buy something in the store and they run it across that scanner, every one of those barcodes has the number 666 in it. Amen. Go look at your barcodes. You'll find two lines in the front, two in the middle, and two at the end. Don't have a number on it. That's the number 666. It makes it read the other numbers. It's an activation code that makes every computer work. When Sears first put out the credit cards, they had the number 666 on the front of the cards. Everybody got complaining, so they took it off. They didn't take it off the card. They just put it on the black strip on the back, just left it off the front so nobody would complain. But the truth of the matter is, we've been fed this stuff for years, and now we need to realize it's there. Open our eyes and realize God's coming back, and it's time we make ourselves ready. Could you say amen? Last but not least, sorcery. And I'm not talking about don't go to a magician show, because that's all it is, a show. Most every one of them can show you what they did to fool you. It's just an illusion. Now, when Janice and Jambres threw the sticks down, they became snakes. That you need to leave alone. Some dude throws a stick down, it becomes a snake, and you ain't got one to eat it up. You better let that guy go. If you like Moses, Moses laid his stick down, it became a snake and eat all theirs. Hello? It was a sign. My God, better than your magic. And in the Old Testament, the word sorcery meant magic. And when it talked about the guy Simon controlling the city with sorcery, it uses a word that actually means magic, but it's got another word tied to it. It's the Greek word out of the New Testament. See, when it talks about the sins of the last day being sorcery, most of you think of magic, witchcraft, and all that's going on. But the Greek word is the word pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy from it. It means to have our mind controlled through drugs. Hello? Uh-oh. Some of y'all looking at it, wait a minute, preacher. You get in my backyard. It's about time some of y'all realize the biggest problem America's got is addicted. We are addicted to everything. And that's what the Bible said was going to be happening in the last days, that addictions would run rampant, that we would be controlled by sorceries and we would not repent of that sorcery. Could you say amen? Listen, in Revelation 18:23, and the light of the candle shall shine no more in all of thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Notice what it said, all nations. Do you realize every nation has a drug problem? I've been in Israel and walked down a back street and seen the people out there. You got a dollar? Because they ripped up on dope so bad they don't know where they're headed. Come on, church. We're talking about Jerusalem, the Mecca of religion, and in Jerusalem you got drug addicts. Do you realize America is eat up with addiction? Hello? Come on, church. 95% of the men in prison are there because of illegal drugs. They either making them, selling them, or stealing to get them. Or kill somebody over some. Now, that's not my statistic. That is a statistic from the U.S. government. Amen. Do you realize that 19.7 million use illegal drugs that are 12 years and older in America? Do you realize that 14 million smoke pot on top of that? 2.4 million use coke, 1.1 million use hallucinogenic drugs. 26,000 are crack users. Or 265,000, I'm sorry, are crack users. There are 192,000 new meth users every year in America. Why? It's cheap. 500,000 deaths a year due to drug overdose and drug use in America. Yeah, preacher, we ought to do something about that. Here's something else you ought to chew on. 51% of the American population drinks alcohol in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Well, we got to get them drug addicts. That's what I'm talking about. Them 51% alcoholics that don't want to admit they got a problem. I knew that coming back up here, but y'all need to work on it. Oh, Jesus turned the water into wine. Hogwash. Get you a glass of water. If it turns into wine, drink it. You got my blessings. Glory. But don't go buy man-made junk. Talking about, it's a miracle. Glory. Do you realize that wine companies in America don't get enough wine when they make wine, so they add alcohol to it so it will be stronger? So even if you got wine made, you're not getting what Jesus turned the water into. Amen. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. 51% of America, that's 150 or 160 million people drinking vodka or beer or whatever, putting a little weekend in their week. 6.6% of those say they binge. That means they drink for 5 days or longer on a regular basis. Here's what upsets me. 13% of them say they drive cars while they're drinking. Now, that's my problem because I'm on the road with them. Come on, church. That's why you're seeing so many people killed by somebody who thinks it's okay to get drunk and drive a car, and then they kill somebody and they want you to feel sorry for them. I didn't know what I'm doing. Don't lie to me. I've been there. You knew, you just didn't care. My neighbor come over one day, wanted to get in the house. He wanted to use the phone. I took the phone out on the porch, and he told me, said, no, I'm going in your house. I said, you ain't going to my house drunk. He said, get out my way. I threw him out in the yard. He landed in the yard, and he looked at me. I said, you ain't going home. I'm going to use the phone. I said, no, you ain't use the phone now. Just go on home. He said, you're a preacher. I said, if you don't go home, I'm going to whoop you. You got a problem? See me at the church. But I figured a guy trying to get in my house might mess up something. I didn't want to have to kill him. If I let him in the house, he started something, I'd have to kill him. Some of y'all, oh, preacher, I'm nonviolent. I am too. But when you fool with my family, I'm going to mess you up. Somebody said, well, I ain't breaking in your house. You getting the idea. I figure you break my house. You're not asking for donations for the Red Cross. So I'm going to go ahead and take care of business. Glory. If I can't get you, my neighbor's got an M16. I call him. He's legal. I'm trying to discourage. I don't want you to have the sin of theft right before you die. Glory. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all act like you wouldn't have told that fellow that. I want him to understand you ain't going to do this no more. Let me show you something. He come back the next day. I didn't really know what I was doing. I said, why are you over here apologizing? Huh? So that's what most drunks do. I didn't know what I was doing. They knew exactly what they was doing. They just didn't care. That guy got in the car to drive home. He knew what he was doing. He just didn't care. That's good preaching. Well, preacher, you need to move on. I am. America's became a country of addicts. We got a new addiction. I could have left y'all alone, but I don't feel like it. We got people addicted to computers. We've actually got federal government-sponsored interdiction centers for people who can't get off the computer because they ain't got a life. Glory. If you got to turn the computer on every time you look up to find out who's trying to get in touch with you or to look up whose picture's on there, you got problems. Oh, I know I'm not going to get no amens because there was people sending text messages in church last week. Glory. You're addicted. I'm going to have some intervention for you. Glory. I'm going to have you write 5,000 times in a text. I will not text in church. I will not. And send them to me one at a time. Glory. I won't be able to use my phone this week because let me share this reading. I'm going to close. Diabetes is a disease. People suffer from it. I have it. Do you realize we spend $131 billion a year to treat diabetes in America? Cancer. I know that's a bad thing. I got it. I'm not putting people down that has to treat it because I'm one of them. But it costs the government and the United States $171 billion a year to treat people with cancer. But we spend $484 billion a year to treat drug addicts in America and alcoholics. So you can add the cancer and diabetes together. We spend more money to take care of folks that put themselves there, not because they got a problem. Hello? And we sitting around talking about, oh, but we're spending all this money on so-and-so. We ought to be upset about that more than we are anything else. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We got people that are stuck on prescription drugs. Those doctors writing those prescriptions, I'll be put out of business. We've got people that can't live without taking pills in the morning and pills at night. And look, I'm not telling you something I don't understand. I know what it is to have something to get up in the morning and go to bed at night. I know what it is to shake when you don't get a drink. I know what it is to have to quit smoking. I did. It ain't easy. I ride down the road digging in my pocket, knowing it wasn't there, but I wanted one. Bought a pack, got it out, and got it ready, got one out, got it in my lips, and God spoke to me and said, you bigger than that. I throwed them in the garbage, and every time I passed that garbage can going down the road, I go, truck ain't run. And them wasn't but 45 cents a pack. No matter what, I'd do at $5. I'd be over digging through the garbage, see if it'd take them back. I know what it is. 20 years after the fact, to walk through a 7-Eleven and look down and see your favorite vodka staring you in the face and things ain't going good and you're under pressure and that vodka's going, hey, remember me? See, y'all ain't never been so bad off it'll talk to you, but it will. It'll whistle. Over here. I'm right here. But I got a God that'll help you get rid of it. I got a God that'll help you break those addictions and bring you out. And all you got to do is sell out to him and let God have his way in your life. And see, I believe there are people under the sound of my voice that you've been sitting around worried you're going to get caught in sorcery. You are. Because you got problems you need to deal with. You need to turn over to God and say, God, I need you to help me. I need victory. And you're my only hope. Stand with me all over the house. Preacher, I come to be lifted up. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm lifting you up before God, believing God's going to help you draw a little closer. See, if I don't tell you the truth, who's going to? If I don't try to keep you from going to hell on your own, then who's going to? I firmly believe God put detours between every one of us and in eternity without him. And this service is a detour for somebody who's on the road to hell, whose life is all messed up and they need help. And there's not but one way to get it, and that's just sell out to God. That's the only answer. Government drug rehab centers will tell you that only 30% of the people who go through their drug rehab centers ever make it out clean. And why the government's so adamant about not using religion when they tell you that religious-based drug interdiction centers are at an 85% cure rate. Some 90. And the reason for that is because once they get to the center of the problem, they realize that if they can get them a core value of Christ, that void they were filling with the drugs and the alcohol will disappear, because God will fill it and God will give them life. This morning, your answer is Jesus. No other way. Because he loves you and he wants to set you free. Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. God, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.